Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon for those of you that are joining us from the countries where it's in the evening. Welcome to Day 9. Today's an interesting statement, and it's always one that trumps people, so I'm going to make it very simple for you today, and yet one that's very, very, very powerful. But before we get started on this powerful statement, I'd like to welcome Gregory and Gail. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
everyone. How are you doing, Daniel?
Doing wonderful. Thank you. Good. All right, Gail, I'll just hand it over to you and let you get us started.
Okay, thank you. All right. So it is a powerful statement that we're working with today, and it got me to thinking about something, and that is that something, whether I like it or not, I still do read the news online. And what that does is it confronts me with a very strong consciousness of lack and disease that's rampant on this planet. It is the reality of many, many people, and it fights to contain, maintain, and control those who are unable to recognize the unlimited source that we speak of here. How many realities can exist on one planet? Well, I think billions. So many energy packets racing around and bumping into each other in this third dimensional plane. So if I see these so-called realities as mere energy bundles that can be transformed and enlightened, then I begin to see this as an opportunity. And how I can respond to that sometimes is as simply as I can with a smile, because I can't do anything about somebody else's reality. However, I can affect the whole consciousness through my reality. Many people believe that what they've been taught about history and the nature of humanity is the truth. And then there are others who see the goodness, light, and connection of divine power. The personal stories of lack, struggle, suffering, and disease are real stories, and they are stories, made-up stories. So let's go into our own stories. What is the story in your heart right now? The vibration of your heart holds a resonance that's longing to transform your reality. The heart companion is worn at the heart, so you will better remember who you are. It strengthens you to confront what has been eating at you for eons. It brings it to light so you can see without judgment and move more easily into centered choice. It empowers you to go beyond the limitations that you have operated with all your life and offers you greater clarity to focus on a new reality. So let's begin. Get into a relaxed position, hands and legs uncrossed, eyes opened or closed, whatever is most comfortable for you. Take your heart companion or iConnect and hold it between your hands. If you have the iConnect, just hold that just as you would the heart companion. If you don't have one yet, again, just allow the energies to be received that we're sending your way. Feel the energy you are holding in your hands. As someone so beautifully stated the other day, as a brand new puppy. So pure, joyful, and eager to join in. How sweet is that feeling? Now, listen to the pure source of love that redirects you for the good of all. Just listen. Is there a message for you right now? Hear that message. Move your hands with the heart companion to rest at the heart, feeling restored, centered, and seeing a world of goodness. Imagine you can actually connect with and see the good in all and what that feels like. And this is a goodness that is driven to find solutions and remember the abundance that Creator has supplied for everyone. Imagine that resonance pulsating on this planet right now. You are crafting a new story. So in that place, take a deep cleansing breath, and on the out breath, as you release the air, allow the sound bomb to resonate through you. We'll do it three times. Bomb.
Bomb.
Allow your body to absorb the blessings and send them out to others and the universe. You are immersed in feelings of gratitude. Now let's make the sound three more times together. Down into your feet, allowing the flow to establish roots into Mother Earth and bless all beings and all life. Okay, Daniel, I will hand it over to you.
All right. So let me read this statement. And today, through the wonderful meditation that we just did, the grounding, she says, bring it down to the earth. I really want you to be conscious, aware, and connected to your iConnect or to your heart companion or to the idea of having it if you don't have it already. Because today is an extremely, and maybe if you could hold it on your hand or put your hand over it, today is really something that people struggle with. And I'm going to explain this statement because some of you, if you read this for the very first time like I did, was like, what are they talking about? My consciousness of the spirit within as my unlimited source is a divine power to restore the years of locusts of Eden, to make all things new and to lift me up to the high road of abundant prosperity. This awareness, understanding, and knowledge of spirit appears as every visible form and experience that I could possibly desire. Very simply put, the reason why they use locusts here, locusts are probably one of the most devouring insects on the world when they get together. And when they talk about the locust, they're talking about a swarm of locusts of your life that is devoured. They've devoured everything in its past. Everything in its path. And no matter what you could have done, what you will do, nothing can separate you from the love of Source. And here's the thing that I want to just resonate through your body. I am forgiven. That's what this is talking about. I am forgiven. It doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't even matter what I'm possibly going to do tomorrow. But one thing that I'm clear is that I am forgiven. And you need to give yourself permission to forgive yourself, because without self-forgiveness, we're stuck. And this is why I want you to be just hold that iConnect or that heart companion tight. and allow it to resonate with you. It has the power to restore the years of the locusts of Eden, to make all things new and to lift you up to the high road of abundant prosperity. It is our own darkness, the things that we do not talk about that keep us in the darkness. And this is saying, let it go. Yesterday was about let it go. Let it go. It reminds me, I want to share a real quick story with you. Several years back, I had the honor of traveling with Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of the Four Agreements and many other books, speaking in different parts of the world and having a blast together. And at the end of our traveling together, he says, "Hey, Daniel, why don't you come to Mexico with me and go through a spiritual journey that I do there in Teotihuacan, Mexico, in the pyramids there outside of Mexico City." And I said, "Sure, I'd love to go." And it was just a great opportunity for me not to have to teach and just be there with the rest of the students. And so anyway, we went to these great pyramids, to visit these great pyramids. And one morning, I had gotten up early, as I always do, to get some coffee, and Don Miguel was downstairs as well. It was just he and I getting a cup of coffee or waiting for coffee to be served. And he says to me, "Daniel, have you ever been below the temple of the sun?" And I'm thinking to myself, "I've never been even to the top of the temple of the sun." And he says, "Would you like to go?" And I said, "Sure, I'd love to." And so he says, "Meet me at my room at 8 o'clock tonight." And I said, "Okay." So in my head, all of a sudden, I got to thinking. I had really began to realize I had watched way too many Indiana Jones movies, because I was thinking, "Whoa, whoops," and, you know, hieroglyphics and lights and pillars. I was thinking all these crazy things that might be below this temple. This temple, by the way, is 700 A.D. 700 is when they made this tunnel that I was being invited to go to. And so I got to Don Miguel's room that night, and it was only his son and a couple of his family members, because what we were about to do was not something that was allowed by the public. It was just for people that had special access, and Don Miguel had special access, because underneath the temple, in this place, down deep underneath it, was this place called, it's like a womb. You can read about it online. It's like a womb. And you would crawl down into this space. And I remember getting there to his room, and he says, "All right, so you're going to get a chance to go and visit this very sacred space. It's a space that I meditate at. And you're going to get a chance to go down there. And the only thing that I want you to ask yourself when you get down there and you're in silence is, what do you fear? What do you fear?" And I thought, well, that was odd. Okay, so be it. So we finally get to the pyramid, and I'm looking around. We're at the Temple of the Sun. That's a full moon out there. It's a beautiful night. All the people are gone now. The archaeologist met us at the gate. He let us in. He walks us over to this, what looked like a hole in the ground. And I thought, what's this? So in Spanish, he says to all of us, there's, I think, maybe five or six of us, he says, "Oh, did anybody bring a watch?" And I thought, well, that's odd. Why would we need a watch? And he says, "You need a watch because you only have 45 minutes of oxygen." I went, what? And I'm thinking to myself, what did I get myself into? And then he asked someone else, "Do you have a flashlight?" Well, no one was told to bring a flashlight, but we had cell phones. And he says, "Well, it's kind of dark down there, too." And I'm thinking, all of a sudden, this idea of what I had about the Indiana Jones movie was kind of falling by the wayside. But anyway, he opens this door to this hole in the ground, and down below was a tunnel. Reluctantly, I went down in there, put my helmet on. It was very small, so it was really easy to get claustrophobic. And there we went on our journey. Crawling, not crawling, but walking. It was high enough, but I had to duck a little bit. And we finally got down to this place, which is the womb, which I later found out was 700 A.D., has been there for a long time. And what little lights they had down there, they turned them off. And you hear the sound of someone saying, "What do you fear?" Well, truth be known, I was fearing that the headlines in Los Angeles were going to read, "Motivational speaker dies in the womb." I did not know if I was going to make it out there. I'm thinking, we're going to run out of oxygen. But there I am, and all I can remember was that Don Miguel had talked about rebirth. Rebirth. Think about rebirth. You're in the womb. You get a chance to die to your fears and let your fears die. So it was an interesting time that we were down in there. And finally, we were all told that it was time to go back up because we only had 45, we only had a few more minutes left of oxygen, and we were, you know, it took 30 minutes to get down there. So we all got back out, and the next morning, we had a very beautiful ceremony. We got up early before the sun came up, and we were up at the top 2,000 steps to the top of the Temple of the Sun. We had, for some of us, we'd already been below. We were at the top of the Temple of the Sun, and as the sun's coming up, if you've seen the book that I published last year called 50 Lessons on My Path to Peace and Tranquility, there's a picture of me with my eyes closed, and that's what I'm doing. You can't tell that I'm on a pyramid, but I'm standing on a pyramid on the very top, and the sun is hitting my face, and I got it. And these are the three universal truths that came to me in that moment that I want to share with you today, that I want you to hold tight. These are the understandings that I get for us to be prosperous, for us to be abundant, for us to get past whatever hang-ups we have. And these are the three. I am worthy of my love. I am worthy of my love. Think about that. Not your love, my love. I am worthy of my acceptance. I am worthy of my acceptance. And I am worthy of my forgiveness. And only to the degree that I am willing to accept these three truths can I do these things for you and you for me. And at the very crux of this class, the very essence, the inward nature of this class, is that ability for us to forgive ourselves for whatever we are going through today, whatever we seem to get caught up in yesterday, and just really recognize that this statement is saying it doesn't matter. It could be devoured by the locust. That I am restored by the renewing of my mind. I am restored to new, and every day is a recommitment to that understanding of forgiveness that only Source can provide for me and me for myself. Oh. Oh, what a powerful statement. And yet without this statement, the rest of them don't make any sense. And yet we crucify ourselves with the regrets of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow. Why? Why? Gregory.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Oh, this is a powerful statement. It is something that I think has really hit us both deeply. You know, just putting this into my life, Source restores the years the locusts have eaten to make all things new, to lift me up to abundance. You know, loss is a really interesting thing. Actually, it's a non-thing. It's nothing. You know, once you lose something, it's gone. But what happens is we carry these losses forward in our life. We have mental, you know, chit sheets of what I've lost or what's been taken or what I've missed. And it's a mental trick. It's our ego mind that puts forward thoughts to keep us in pain, to keep us separate from the fullness we are. I mean, that's the nature of ego mind. So it's a strange one. But what happened a year ago on this time, on September 9th, is you remember you had invited Gail and I to be part of your class on abundance.
Mm-hmm.
So we could experience what it was you were sharing with people. Well, we got 2 days into the class. That's what we had completed. And at that time, what you had put out was a ritual on being thankful, being grateful to Spirit for all that was yet to come into our lives. And that was like, wow, that's a new take. I can understand gratitude for what has been, but this was gratitude for what was going to be coming in. We did that, and that was the last class we were able to participate in with you. Because, as you know, the next day, we lost. That is, the locusts ate 20 or 30 acres of our land to a depth of 30 feet. We were trapped by the worst Colorado flood in history. For a week and a half, we couldn't get out without electricity, without anything here. And it was a powerful, powerful learning experience, and it was very reflective of this statement. Because to restore what the locusts have eaten does not mean replace. It's not give back what's taken, but, you know, you couldn't get the lost land back. It was millions and millions of tons of earth. You know, so we sometimes think, oh, locusts, what you've eaten, give me back. Restore doesn't mean replace my lost land, my lost money, my lost lover. We'll never get those things back, or the millions of tons, as I said, of earth that were now moved out to Kansas. But what did happen, and frequently the locusts are a gift because they empty out our cup. They empty out a part of our life so it can be filled with what's new. And we can be reborn to something greater that we weren't able to see with what we did have, blocking the way. It's now we're ready for something more. We're ready for something greater. And our guidance shared with us how the energy on our land had been cleansed and it had been raised up to another level of energy. And what was left were all the sacred spots on our land, and we have a couple hundred acres, so losing a good hunk of it was still left us with a lot of the all of the energy spots, and they were now higher. The land was cleansed. There was a 30-foot cliff that stopped 1 foot from the cement pad in front of our house. And one of the things that you, Daniel, shared with us a few days later, I think you had to text us because our phones enabled us to text back and forth and send pictures. But you shared that it was our willingness to receive what the universe, what Spirit was going to bring into our lives that mitigated the severity of the flood. And it saved our home. That cliff stopped 1 foot, literally 1 foot, from the pad of our driveway in front of our home. So our willingness to accept always what is, our willingness to be open in our hearts to what Spirit has to give us, it brings in gifts we never could have imagined. And in this case, it saved our home. It saved our lives. I was awakened at 3 a.m. in the morning and looked out and saw that everything was disappearing, and we drove out before a few hours later. We wouldn't have been able to get out. We would have been trapped with our cars. So in disasters like this, you learn the priorities. And one is life of self and loved ones. So you can still play the game, so you can still be here. That's the important thing, to do this whole play, to learn, to grow, to share. And the second thing on the list is often our home, and that was all preserved. And, you know, universe, as I said, it does not restore what the locusts have eaten until you let go of what the locusts have eaten. And, you know, that's one of the big things for us, like I was saying. We have to let go because it doesn't exist anymore. What was, what we walked on, the trees, I mean, we had large trees, several feet in diameter, and organic gardens and fields and flowers, and it's all gone. And it will never be again. Only the present exists. Only what is now exists. The moment is what feeds into and supports our reality. Pain comes from remembering what isn't. Again, it's remembering what doesn't exist, and it's sometimes pain comes into our lives through fear of what could be, but it also doesn't exist. You know, its non-existence controls so much of our lives. That's the trick of ego mind. It's our heart. It's our connection to source. It's our connection to the larger part of our being that keeps these fears and pains out of our lives because we connect to what's real. We are supported by what's real, by the spirit that does lift us up. And, you know, during this event, we allowed the event to unfold and for spirit to come in. There was so much help from other people, places, and we had to be in a place of allowing. But we also had to be in a place of doing. But the doing came from our beingness, from that higher part. It wasn't a reaction out of fear. We were just doing what was in front of us. And like a couple days ago, what was shared by someone who said she was doing her housework and it happened so much faster. One of the reasons things happen faster with the Heart Companion and the iConnect is that we are more focused. All the extraneous stuff, the little things that bother us, the thoughts of what was, what could be, all of this, they weren't part of the equation. It's just the focus of doing what needs to be done right now. And we got all of our infrastructure replaced. We had to build a new leach field, put in a new well, put in a new septic system. You know, all the pipes, everything was ripped out. I had to get the telephone company to get on another schedule. I mean, this was happening all over Colorado. People had lost so much. And so to actually get the head of the power company to meet with the head of the telephone company out here on our land to meet with our electricians and our all at the same time to get us into our home again, and it happened. But we just allowed for the twists and turns. And it was easy with that connection. You know, what you were talking about earlier on the top of the pyramid, we were worthy of our love and accepting all of this that was unfolding in our lives and forgiving what was, letting go of it in a way where we could have the love of what was present to come in. And it was amazing because every time we looked out a window or walked out our front door, it was a whole new world. You saw it before and you saw it afterwards. It's really a paradigm shift. It's mm-hmm. a new reality. And that's what we were learning. It's like earth changes are real. The changes that are happening in our world right now and in our lives are real. And we need to be totally open to being shifted in ways we can't imagine. We can only do that by coming from our core, by coming from our heart, by being open. These tools are so magnificent. I mean, it's real. It allowed us and our children to go through this with so little difficulty and pain. And within less than a month, we were in our home again. We had generators, and I had to get up at 5 a.m. And you know, there were new things and challenges, but it was what it was. And, you know, in ways, when you recontext it, it gets to be fun. It's an adventure. And And that's what life is. It's an adventure. And so even these kinds of things can be totally wonderful, really. It's like we stayed with a friend who had a gourmet kitchen and a generator for a week, so we ate well. He had a wine cellar. I drank more wine in that week than I have in a year. And it's like, in the end, it was the best disaster I've ever experienced. And what more can you say about life? It's happening, not as we expect, but when you make it an adventure and you know you have the support from inside, the only place support can come from that's full of love to take us through all of this, life happens wonderfully. And we made as much money that month when we were closed because we're online and we have a different model. Money kept coming in. We've been growing constantly since that whole thing. And it's part of clearing the path for universe to bring us what's new and to take us into more abundance. And we have been. And we've been so cleaned out and ready for it. It was a wonderful experience. So be open to every experience and see the gift of Spirit and God and that love at the core of every experience, and you will have the most wonderful life from now until the end of your life. So thank you.
All right. Good stuff. I love that. You know, Gregory and Gail, I told you guys this back then, and I don't think you remember because you were just a few days from the day that this flood had come. But right now, as I'm sitting here, I shared with you that after we did our ceremony, on their land of receiving and accepting of what the future was going to bring, Gregory and I took a walk on the property that doesn't exist anymore, the part that was washed away. And on my way back, I felt compelled to pick up a piece of quartz. They have a lot of quartz out there in their property. It's a piece of quartz, a little rock. And when all this happened, I said to you that I had kept this rock, and I didn't understand why I kept it. But I'm looking at it right now because Aaron and I went and found a nice little thing to put it in so we could someday give it back to you as kind of a healing stone for your property. And I'm looking at it right now. It just brings chills to me to be looking at it because you brought that up today. And I have this stone right here in front of me. And I'm sure we'll bring it back the next time I'm back in Colorado and deliver it back where it belongs. So that's awesome. That's good stuff. Thank you for telling that story. All right. So we have some questions online. I'm going to take the first question, and then those of you that would love to ask any questions about this statement or anything in the class, please hit star 2. The question is from Sandra. She says, my question is for Daniel. Last night I had a dream, and in the dream I was in a place trying to help put down a fire of a building that was in flames. While I was getting into the protective clothing, I noticed pennies and coins, all sorts of values everywhere I looked. I started picking them up, but I would see more and more, and even places where I could not reach. But it was okay because there were too many for me to reach from everywhere. Pretty soon my pockets were completely full, and I didn't have any more space for coins. My pockets were heavy and bulky, but I continued to see more and more pennies. Her question is, does this count for finding the pennies? It's a great question. No. And let me tell you that there's a couple things that I want to bring up. It's a great question, Sandra, and thank you for sharing your dream with us. It counts in that your subconscious mind, this is a positive thing that's happening, that your subconscious mind is being drawn. Remember, your subconscious mind is solving problems. You gave it the problem that you're looking for coins, and in your sleep you're solving that problem. And the good thing about that is that as your subconscious begins to kind of get more in alignment with the idea of finding coins, you will see them. They will come to be. And so be patient. Remember, let go of the resistance. Let go of the expectation of the end result. it is a good sign that you're dreaming, that you're finding pennies. And it may not be pennies, sign that I know because you and I are in a coaching relationship, that it could be a great business opportunity that's overwhelming because there's so much business. It could be a new client. It may not necessarily be the pennies, but the pennies in the dream signify abundance and prosperity. One of the biggest things that we have a problem with as we enter into the holiday season here in the United States, the Thanksgiving holidays, and I'm going to be doing an interview in a few days about this. We don't have a giving problem. I really don't believe that. I don't believe that we have a giving problem. We have a receiving problem. We don't know how to receive. We don't know how to be open for source. We don't know how to take the energy blocks in our hearts and allow ourselves to be given the gift of life, the gift of abundance, the gift of prosperity, the gift of health, the gift of relationships. And so Sandra, the only thing that I think that needs to happen here is that you open yourself for receiving that which is already there for you. And that's for the rest of us as we go into the holiday season around the world. Think about receiving. The giving we've been taught since we were little kids. But when were we taught to receive and be open to that? So good stuff. It was a good question. Did you guys want to add anything to that?
You know, as I'm thinking about what you said, and it's really wise. And sometimes in order to receive, and I think that this is part of what happened in Gregory's story about the flood, we have to empty out.
Mm-hmm.
What is... You know, sometimes creating that confusion, really, letting go of that, and that's part of the forgiveness, and recognizing that letting go of the things that, you know, kind of are stuffing our coffers and stuffing our closets and whatever else, that opens up to extraordinary abundance. You know, that was part of the message that for me with the flood was so profound, was how much could I let go of? You know, even I would, when we were staying up at a neighbor's house because we couldn't live in our house, and each day I would get up in the morning, I would look out the window because he was just up the hill from where our house is. And I'd look out the window and I'd go, thank you, God, the house is still standing. And when I walked out of the house at 3 a.m. with our two children, our dog, our hamster and gerbil, and, you know, some of the things that we wanted to stuff in our cars and take out, I walked out saying goodbye. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether that house is still going to be standing or not. And I wasn't trying to predetermine it. I was just cleaning myself out. And in that emptiness, then what was allowed was to be able to receive, the goodness, the incredible friendship that was established. There were so many people who got into a giving place. And I'm a person who likes to give more than receive. Well, the tables got turned because I was so emptied out. I was now in a place of receiving. And rather than being fearful of that emptiness, I just embraced it. And what keeps coming because of that is just awesome. And I do believe that emptiness is a great thing for all of us to empty ourselves out from those projections and whether you call it karma or stories or stuff or whatever it is. When we're unencumbered, then spirit can truly get through. And like you said, Daniel, that's where the abundance, that's where the health, that's where the connections, that's where all that we really want is there for us.
And I was off in what I was sharing today talking about nothingness and so forth. That's different than emptiness. emptiness is potential. You know, it is the potential to be filled. It is the, that expectation, not expectation, it's just the allowing, the willingness within in our being to have something greater come in. And that's what this whole statement is about, spirit is going to surprise us with its love. It's going to surprise us with more than we could ever imagine. And the cups we have now are not big enough to hold that amount of support, of love, of abundance. But it is such an important thing to go into the emptiness, which is really different than nothingness that the mind, the lower mind, uses. Okay.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks for that analogy. That's awesome. Anybody else have any comments that they'd like to make? Hit star two. Let me go back to the web here. Okay, we're good there. All right. Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, good morning. You had asked me to talk about what I shared the other day.
That was yesterday. Yeah, we're fine. Yeah. That was
okay?
For yesterday. I sent you that note. Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. I do have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. Well, I had gotten it after the class, so I was, confused. I do have a question, I'm holding my heart companion. And when I sleep at night, I lay it on the nightstand beside me, and I want it laying there so I'm being grounded. So given it's not against my body and I'm not holding it in my hand, it's not on a Wiccanic, it's just laying on a wooden nightstand, which side should be facing up if I want to be grounded while I sleep?
You know, Elaine, this is what I usually do, and you're such a intuitive person. Just trust it. When you put it down, it will be in the right place.
Okay.
And when I put it over, I have like a bedpost, and I just take it off and I put it on the bedpost. And and sometimes I'll just notice, oh, which way did I put it on this time?
Okay.
It's just, you know. And that's the best thing that I can tell you is just trust that.
I've been putting it with the earth side down, and I do feel very grounded in my sleep and in my dreams.
Right.
And I'm sleeping a lot better, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
It does do that.
Yeah.
Before, I would wake up and go, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. And I'd get up and go to the bathroom. Or I'd wake up and, oh, my back hurts. And now I wake up, I have to go to the bathroom, and I don't get up and go to the bathroom. I go right back to sleep. And last night, my back was hurting really bad while I was sleeping, and I woke up and, oh, my back's hurting. And normally that would mean I'd be up for a couple hours, and all I did was go, my back is hurting, and I went back to sleep.
That's great.
And that to me is pretty funny and amazing.
Also, take your heart companion or eye connect, and in the area that it's hurting, place it on that. And it'll be working with the energy.
Oh, yeah, we have people, one woman told us the other day, she has pretty bad arthritis in her hands, and she'll hang on to the heart companion or eye connect at night, and the pain goes away. And then she'll slip it to her other hand, and the pain goes away, because it's moving energy. And even though it's important when you wear it on your chest that it's semi-important that you're aware of it. It will give you feedback if you feel comfortable or not. You really can't do things wrong with these tools. You don't have to worry about, oh, my God, did I do it the right way? Or I don't, those kinds of thoughts keep us from just exploring, having fun, and playing with it the way a little kid would. And that's really the nicest place to be with new things, is to play with them as a toy and say, oh, I want to explore, experiment, and not be afraid that, oh, I'm going to do it wrong, and therefore I'm going to suffer negative consequences. It doesn't really happen like that, you're going to be supported no matter what you do with this tool. It's really amazing.
I do. I really do have a sense of that happening the way you're describing. And I'll share something. On my left hand, on the inside palm part, I have a patch that's rough and, you know, the skin, and it tends to almost crack at times, and that's very painful. And I've been to dermatologists and my doctor, my internist, and they'll give me different medicines to use on it, and I don't like the medicines. So even though I use them, there's that adds that I don't like what I'm doing. Well, what I've noticed since holding the Heart Companion in that hand, that those rough patches that have been there for years, and I also do reflexology with my work, that is right directly where the heart is.
Right.
You know, the patches, that's interesting to me. Well, that's all clearing up just from holding the Heart Companion.
That's been 1-2 days.
After something that's been there for years.
And the other day you mentioned that it felt alive to you when you approached it.
Oh, yeah, that's continued to grow.
Well, you know, life is a very interesting definition. It's like what I like to define life as is consciousness. So wherever there is consciousness, there is potential for the flow of energy and life and transformation. And what we hook this these tools up to is higher energetic flows of consciousness. There are higher beings, if you will, consciousnesses that have committed to coming through these tools to support people in their process, to be able to help us in our evolution, because our evolution is part of their evolution. We are a oneness that we're only, as human beings, opening up to this bigger oneness. But this oneness wants us to be part of its evolution and supports us in that process. So there is a lot of interest and love that comes into our lives, and the Heart Companion and the iConnect are both portals, doorways, openings for that love to come into our lives. And if we apply our intent, our focus, the way Daniel has been speaking to it, the way he's been bringing up, you know, little things to help us, when we bring those into our life through the use of the Heart Companion, it happens so much easier and more quickly because there is support there that takes our intent and really helps us clarify it, because we can look at it from a higher perspective, and then helps it manifest because we're coherent and that energy comes through and things really are going to be happening more rapidly for all of us.
All right. Good stuff. Anybody else? All right. Well, we're at the end of our time. Again, we want to, as we wrap up, what I'd like for everyone to do is just whether you're listening to this later or live, just take your Heart Companion or your iConnect, or if you don't have either one, you maybe just put your hand over your heart and listen to what I'm about to say. I give myself permission to forgive myself for whatever I have done in the past or what I could possibly do in the future. And in this knowledge, recognizing that nothing I could possibly do could ever separate me from the love of God, from the love of Source, from the love of Creator. And with that, I am worthy of my forgiveness. And I let go. From us to you, know that we love you very much, and have a beautiful, blessed day. Namaste.
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 We love you.
We love you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.